I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And if you want to follow along with the Bibles that we've given there in the seats, it's on page 1242. This morning, I want us to do a quick overview of the scriptures. You'll see in your bulletin the little handout, which you can follow along with the verses that are listed there. A little overview, if you will, of the things that God calls us to remember. One of those is given to us in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'd like to begin our reading with chapter 2, verse 11. This is, again, the word of God, which builds us up and gives us the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself was our peace, who has made us both into one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preach peace to you who were far off, peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built up together into a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. I trust many of you will remember some of the last words of John Newton. We know John Newton today primarily as the person that wrote maybe the most famous Christian hymn ever written, Amazing Grace. John Newton was far more than that. John Newton was raised, his father was a sea captain, and early in his life his father gave him over to the sea. He attached himself to a captain of a slave ship, and John Newton himself became a captain of a slave ship. Not only was he involved in the brutal slave trade of the day, but he also became, in essence, a slave himself. There was a time when he was basically the slave, the toy, the person that was abused by the mistress of the captain of the ship of which he was attached. On the coast of Africa, he was treated poorly, nearly died of thirst and hunger. He eventually went back to the sea, and during a storm, a terrible storm, he realized he had gone far from Jesus Christ. John Newton, at the end of his life, said this: "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a great Savior." We tend to remember the things that we consider important, right? I want to look at this morning some of the things that God tells us to remember. As we come to the new year, again, it's a time for us to look back and see the faithfulness of God in this past year, but also to look forward and living in anticipation of the loving kindness of God towards us in this new year. Christianity, of all the religions of the world, is a religion that in many ways is based upon remembrance. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you know that we do that in remembrance of Jesus Christ. As Christians, there are several things that you are called to remember. And what I want to do is look at a handful of those this morning, a handful of passages that talk about this. Because as we remember God's faithfulness and love in the past, it gives us encouragement to trust Him in the present and in the future. So we will look at some of the great deeds that God has done in the past so that we can have confidence and trust in His loving kindness and faithfulness now and in the future. I'm going to look at these examples of things that we're to remember just in the order in which they occur in the Bible. At least I think I've got that correct. The first one is that as Christians, we are to remember our redemption. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 15:15. There's a very similar passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. But Deuteronomy 15:15 says, "Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but the Lord your God redeemed you." This verse was inscribed over the fireplace of John Newton's house. I think you will recall that John Newton was, in essence, the spiritual mentor for William Wilberforce. It was William Wilberforce that almost single-handedly changed around Parliament, an amazing development during his lifetime. But it was also William Wilberforce and some of his friends of the Clapham sect that were instrumental in ending the slave trade, abolishing the slave trade throughout the British Empire. And above his mantle, this man that was involved in the slave trade and himself really became a slave had this verse: "You were slaves in the land of Egypt, but the Lord your God redeemed you." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to remember that you were slaves. The Bible tells us that you were a slave to sin, that you were a slave to the fear of death. Hebrews 2:15, were delivered, who through the fear of death were held captive to slavery all their lives. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to realize that you were a slave to Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26 basically tells us that. So, my friends, I have no problem saying to you, you were slaves, but the Lord your God has redeemed you. You need to understand and realize that you were slaves to sin, to the fear of death, to Satan. But the Lord God in Jesus Christ has redeemed you. He has bought you back. Psalm 48 says that the redemption of the soul is costly, and therefore one should cease from trying. And the idea is that it is costly to redeem a life. And yet Jesus Christ has redeemed your life, if indeed you have put your faith and trust in Him. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but the Lord your God redeemed you. Remember that you were slaves in this life, but Jesus Christ has redeemed you. The next one that we need to realize is that we are to remember the Lord's provisions for us. And then we read this from Deuteronomy chapter 8. But I want to take us back. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to take us back to the first part of the chapter, the part that we read a little while ago, reminded us that to beware that we forget the Lord our God. But we should remember that it's not our industry, our intelligence that gives us prosperity and wealth, but we should remember that is the Lord is the one that gives us the power to make wealth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, let me just read the first couple of verses. Please follow along if you have your Bibles. "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's really an amazing list that we have here of the Lord's provisions, and you need to remember the Lord's provisions as we come to the end of the new year. The end of the old year, the beginning of a new year. How have you seen God provide for you? Do you remember those things? Do you rejoice in them? Let me just give you four quick things that it tells us here about the Lord's provision for us. We see his compassion. We see it in verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know that your father, that nor did your fathers know. He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was compassionate for his people. We also see his convictions. He allowed them to suffer. I'm sorry, his corrections is the word I meant to say there. He allowed them to suffer. They went hungry. But God did that to humble them. Psalm 119:67, it was good that I was afflicted that I might learn your statutes. It's God humbles us so that we might learn to fear him and treasure him. And maybe that's a theme of your life this past year, that God has tested you. But God does that so that we might learn to love him and treasure Jesus more. So you see his compassions, you see his corrections, you see his commitments. And you see that in verse 6 and verse 11. He was committed to bringing the people into the good land. And then you also see that his commandments that he gives the people, that they may observe them. These are all ways that God has provided for us. So as Christians, we must remember God's provisions for us. A third thing that as Christians you must remember is your alienation. This comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1 gives us the great wealth that we have in Christ. In chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then it continues to list all those blessings that we have in Jesus in the heavenly places. And then the second part of it, chapter 1, begins to talk about the idea that our hearts need to be enlightened so that we might understand all these rich blessings that we have in Jesus. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, which we read earlier, the command is that you remember. That you remember. That you remember your alienation. If you remember what we read, it's a devastating list that we have. We have no Savior. We have no fellowship with God's people. We have no expectation of good. We have no promise. We have no hope. We have no God in this world. It's a devastating list. And Paul is saying to these Gentile people who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, don't ever forget what you once were. You were separated from Christ. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You had no God in this world. And Paul is saying, don't ever forget that. And my friends, you must remember what you were like before you came to faith in Jesus. Now I realize that there's many of you here that had the privilege of coming to faith in Christ when you were quite young, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old. And you don't really remember a time in your life when you were apart from Christ. But my friends, if you're in that situation, I want to encourage you to understand your own sinfulness. I'm sure there's times when you were cruel to your younger brother or sister. I'm sure that there are times that you disobeyed your parents. I'm sure that there were times that you thought that your parents needed to change, that you were embittered towards them. Even those that may not be sins that are magnified on the pages of our newspapers, you have to realize that every sin breaks the moral law of God. It's like if we have a chain up here going from this wall to this wall, how many links do I have to break that chain? I only have to break one link. So even though you may have come to faith in Jesus at a young age, you still need to realize that your sin broke that chain of God's moral law, and you were under the wrath of God. And apart from Jesus Christ, you were separated from his promises. You had no hope. You had no Savior. You had no God in this world. I told you before the first prayer meeting that I ever attended as a young Christian. I knew very little about the Christian life and only been in Christ for a handful of months, I believe. And I was invited to join a prayer meeting. I was terribly intimidated. I didn't know how to pray. And I don't remember anything about the prayer meeting, except I could probably take you and show you exactly where I was standing, where some of the other guys were standing. And one of the guys who was a Vietnam War veteran, I'll never forget his prayer. He said, "God, never let me forget what I was before I became a Christian." That's what Paul's saying to us here. Remember that you were alienated from Christ, that you were separated from him, that you had no God, no hope in the world. But God in Christ has brought you near, so that now the mystery that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery that the Gentiles are included in this promise, the mystery that Jesus Christ dwells in his people is your treasure, so that you are now part of the commonwealth of Israel. But never forget how much it costs God to bring that apart, to bring that about in your life. We need to realize our alienation. We need to remember it. The third thing that, I think this is the fourth thing, is that you need, as a Christian, you need to remember the resurrection. And this comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is telling Timothy that he's going to suffer for the gospel and preparing him for that. And Paul reminds him that he himself is suffering for the gospel. Paul himself was in chains. He's in prison. And Paul, in the midst of his own suffering and in the difficulties that Timothy was going to endure, he says to him, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead." So, my friends, you need to remember the resurrection. We will go through difficult times in this life. Probably many of you will face some very difficult things in 2024. Upon what will you be focusing your heart and your lives? One of the things that you need to focus upon is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. And you need to remember the resurrection. Now, you need to understand that there are two resurrections for you. The first one has already happened. The second one will happen in the future. The first one is that you have been raised from your slavery to sin, and you've been raised into the new life in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. You have already been raised in Jesus Christ. The power of sin is broken in your life. That lifestyle that you were living before you came to faith in Christ, that has been broken because you have been raised up with Jesus Christ and united with him so that you might bear fruit for God. That's the first resurrection. You have already been raised. As Jesus Christ suffered and died and was buried and rose again, so also we have been raised with him. You've been raised to newness of life. As you go through your trials and difficulties and disappointments in the coming year and the future years, remember that you've been raised up, already been raised up with Jesus Christ to newness of life. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection will happen when you die. Because then you will be taken up into the very presence of God to live in His light and love for all eternity. You see, when Christians die, they go immediately into the presence of God to experience the life, the light and love of Jesus Christ. And as we understand that more and more clearly, I think it makes the trials and disappointments of this life less severe for us. Momentary light affliction, Paul says, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. My friends, you need to remember your resurrection. You see, for the Christian, the tediousness, the harshness, the difficulty of this life is as bad as it will ever get. For the non-Christian, the tediousness and harshness and hardness of this life is the best that they will ever receive. But see, we have eternity in the light and love of Jesus awaiting us. So remember your resurrection. The next one is found for us in the book of Revelation. In the seven letters to the seven churches, the church of Ephesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle John, tells us to remember from where you have fallen. We are, as Christians, are to remember our devotion. Remember the place from which you have fallen. The Lord Jesus had a complaint against the Ephesian church. And the Ephesian church was that they had lost their first love. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds that you did at first. So, was there a time in your life when you were more joyous about Christ, more enthusiastic about Him than you presently are? Was there a time in your life that you felt closer to God than you do now? Was there a time in your life that you felt the newness of life more fervently than you do now? What happened? In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, God says, I remember the devotion of your youth. And for many people, there's a freshness, an excitement, a beauty in those early days of learning to walk with Jesus. Everything is new. Some of you will remember the story of our friend Tom Wu. He came to faith in Christ, and I told him he should tell somebody. And at that time, my wife was his teacher in our English as a second language classes, and he came to her the next day and the next week and didn't even know the English word for Jesus, but he knew he wanted to tell Catherine about what happened in his life. And so Catherine realized what he was trying to do, and she said, oh, do you mean Jesus? He said, yeah, Jesus. Didn't know the English name. And then he said, I felt like my heart could breathe. I felt like my heart could breathe. You see, he was experiencing the newness of life, the freshness of life, the vigor of walking as a young believer with Jesus Christ. Have you lost that? You see, remember from where you have fallen. What is it that's changed? If you've lost that zeal, if you've lost that freshness, if you've lost that excitement about Jesus, what is it that's changed? You remember the old saying, if God seems far away, guess who moved? But the exhortation that is given to us in Ephesians chapter 2 is that remember the place from which you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds that you did at first. So maybe some of you do clearly remember those times when Jesus was more real to you and there was more excitement in your life about Him than there is now. Repent. Begin practicing the things that you did in that time when you felt closer to Jesus than you do now. What were the things that you were doing then? Did you have closer fellowship with some Christians? Were there some people that you were sharing your life with, able to pour out your heart to them? Were you in the Scriptures more? Were you memorizing Scriptures more back then than you are now? How about your prayer life? What's changed? Remember your devotion. And the last one is going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that is, you must remember your Savior. In the midst of persecution, preparing Timothy for persecution, Paul himself being persecuted in chains, he says, remember Jesus Christ, descendant of David, risen from the dead. So as we go to this new year, my friends, remember Jesus. Cling to Him. One of the more ancient people groups in the world that still exists are the Berbers. They've lived in North Africa for millennia. During the several millennia probably. Most of them live in Algeria now. During the 7th century, as the Islamic faith swept across northern Africa, many of them came to faith in Christ. But in the last 30 years or so, there's been a revival among the Berber people. Pray for the Berber people. People from all ages, all socioeconomic classes, are abandoning Islam and coming to faith in Christ. It is not received well by many in Algeria. There's a groups of militant Islamic people that want to wipe out every vestige of the Berber people because they know that they're coming to faith in Christ. But the Berber people have a little statement that they've used that has really caught on throughout the whole nation in many ways. It's simply this. Christianity is life. Islam is death. Do you have phrases like that that you're clinging to? Do you have phrases like that? You see, the Hosea chapter 6 reminds us that we're to come to Him, and He will come to us like the morning dew. That refreshment of the morning dew, Jesus promises to come that way to you. Are you experiencing that freshness of your new life? Do you have phrases like the Berber people that you meditate upon? You see, it's repetition and meditation that are the things that bring about our life change. Let me give you some statements about Jesus Christ that perhaps you can adopt these and maybe review them on a regular basis. In Jesus there is life, right? In Jesus there is life. Let me give you a few more. In Jesus, you have all the resources of God. Do you believe that? In Jesus, you have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus, you have the power to overcome sin. In Jesus, you have the power to love and serve others. In Jesus, you have the victory. Do you believe those things? You see, Paul tells Timothy to remember Jesus Christ. Will you remember Jesus Christ in this new year? Will you trust Him? Will you cling to Him? Will you doggedly hang on to His promises for life for yourself? When we come to the new year next year, what will you remember about the work of God in your life? Will you remember your redemption? Will you remember God's provision? Will you remember that you were alienated from Him, that you were an enemy of God? Will you remember your resurrection? Will you still remember those times of your devotion when it was new and fresh and exciting and was dominating your life? Or will you lose that freshness? And will you remember Jesus Christ? Remembering is vital to the Christian life. There are things that you have to remember. I've given you 6 of them. Are you going to etch those into your brain so that you will remember them? Like John Newton, my memory is almost gone, but I remember 2 things, that I'm a great sinner and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. What are you etching into your brain right now about remembering your redemption? Remembering God's provision, remembering your alienation, remembering your resurrection, remembering your devotion, and remembering Jesus. Will those things be etched in your brain? You see, it's in Jesus that we have the victory. It's in Jesus that we have the life. Let's purpose to remember Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you call us to remember. And yet, Father, we so easily forget because we're so distracted by the things of this world. We're so distracted by the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. We know that some of our friends are distracted by persecutions and difficulties in this life. But Father, help us to remember. Help us to remember all the great things that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And God, help us to remember those throughout all of our days. We do ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.